Questions in the reverse order, because I think I asked if I was doing intros and we were recording, and you answered in the opposite order. It turns out that I am indeed doing intros and we were not recording.
But so, now we are.
Happy to see ya. Here we are, coming out of the gate like something that comes out of a gate quickly, maybe. A horse in a horse race. Hi, how are ya? Tis the season for Binary Jazz, joined by my friends, as always, Allison Plus on the internet, Chris, Jazz Sequence on the internet, Binary Gary on the internet, Jude is scared by whatever that blurry object was that ran by the house a few minutes ago. This is a show about stuff. If you caught our last episode, it's about a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff we don't know much about, even after talking about said stuff. If you're new, I suggest starting with a different episode, because I'm not going to tell you how it works. You'll figure it out. Let's go!
Oh, is that, like, that's my cue? Okay.
I don't know. I kind of figured Chris would hop in on the let's go and maybe clean up a little of the intro there to make sure I didn't miss anything. Like, we're binaryjazz.us or upload us on iTunes, like us on Reddit. I don't know. We're not on Tumblr, but if you want to create like a Binary Jazz Tumblr account, maybe we are, and I don't know it. Binary Jazz Tumblr.
The best holiday
fanfic account.
The best holiday gift for your loved ones is a review for us on iTunes.
Yes, that is the best gift for your loved ones.
It's good. Let me make a note of that because I am really behind on holiday shopping.
So if you have a Secret Santa and you're not quite sure what to get them, write us a review.
How funny would that be for Company Secret Santa? Like, you open it like a box, like, and it's like, I wrote a review on your behalf for this podcast you don't listen to. But maybe now you will, since you have positively reviewed it.
Yeah, spread the word.
How are you?
All of those things that Gary said are accurate. We're on the internet, and we're on various streaming services.
How are you both doing?
Do you want the real answer or the short answer?
I want the real answer.
Let's be real.
It's tough. It's December.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's legit.
Yeah. Just realized how prominent this poster is on my video. It's okay. It fits the vibe.
Yeah.
Like, attacking small communities.
Which is what you do day in, day out, like a boss.
It's why I live in the largest populated city largest city by landmass. Yes, that's the one I live in. Largest city by landmass in Florida.
It doesn't quite have the ring to it.
No, it sure doesn't, does it? It doesn't roll off the tongue very well.
No.
Maybe that's why on our signs it says, Welcome to America's Logistics Center, which is also a lie, but.
It doesn't roll off the tongue, and it's not true.
That sounds like Florida.
Sounds like So I'm really excited about the topic today. Excited might be a bit of a stretch, but like I keep trying to like spread the word. Like I've been trying to drop it into conversations more, so then people will be like, what does that mean? And I'm like, well, let me tell you.
That means everybody that is in your general circle will already have a preview into this episode.
Probably already knows because I discovered it a few weeks ago. And so I've been trying to like sprinkle it throughout. I want to make it catch on before this episode drops.
Have you carefully been? That'll be fun. Everyone knows what it is before the episode drops, except for Chris and I. Have you been trying to avoid using it then amongst us?
Yes. Well, because I got really. I don't know why. It's one of those things where like when something catches your fancy and you're just like, that's a really cool. Like I'm glad that exists. Like it's so random. I don't know. Anyway,
cool.
It's you'll never use it, but like it's fine. I'm fine with
perfect.
That. The word is POSLQ.
POSLQ?
It's all caps, POSSLQ.
Wait.
Yeah, that's the right answer.
P-O-S-S-L-Q.
P-O-S-S-L-Q. Possil-Q. I'll use possibly it in a sentence.
It's a pseudo-acronym that stands for possibly lesbian or queer.
Oh, that's actually, like, seemingly reasonable, but no.
I mean, there's a couple letters that are missing if it was going to be accurate.
In university, I had a possil Q. It's more than that. And then that's like kind of like an Allison trivia. Like what's going wow. on?
It must stand for something, Chris. Plain old.
Professor of Social Studies.
I have a question about that. So sometimes people call it social studies and sometimes yeah. it's called other things. Like in elementary school, it was social studies and then we just like transferred to history, basically.
Yep.
Is there any, does anybody know any of the reasoning behind that?
Social studies is more inclusive in general, which means you can be studying contemporary things, whereas history is obviously history. And there might, I mean, there may be like an, I'm totally shooting out of my ass, but there might be like an unofficial, like agreed upon, like date that makes a thing history versus social studies. Like if you're studying the civil rights movement, that's more social studies for some reason, even though it happened in history. But if you're studying the Civil War, that's history.
It's more, yeah. I will buy that.
I like,
I don't know if you're right or wrong, but it seems legit.
I like that you gave the cautionary thing, like, that's not what this whole podcast is about. You're like, well, I'm not sure, but
I mean, yeah, I mean, it's totally on brand to just, you know, completely make some random shit up. I just want to make sure that people aren't, like, trying to, like, oh, Chris said on Binary Jazz that this is what history means, so.
I think this warrants a meta conversation in that I don't feel like I bullshit my way through everything I do in life. My bullshit quotient is much higher on this show than it is in the rest of my life. I don't know. I'm feeling a little defensive now. Like, I need that disclaimer. I'm not entirely full of shit.
No, well, you're both, like, when your kids come to you, is there any part of you, when they ask a question you don't know, are you like, let's go look it up? Or are you like, well, the sky is blue because, and then you go down this road of making something up because you're like, I want to amuse myself.
The answer is it very much depends on the conversation. It's okay. Very situational.
I yeah. would agree.
A lie
with
will
that.
Make stuff up with no hesitation when the opportunity arises.
Okay. I will make stuff up, but with hesitation because I'm not able to come up with something on the fly a lot of times. I'll be like, I don't know. Oh. Actually, what it means is, like, after I've had a few minutes to think about it.
Yeah.
To the point that when I say things that are actually true and sound ridiculous, like, what were the banana strings called? Something bundles.
Phloem bundles.
Phloem bundles. When I remarked about phloem bundles, the kids were like, it's totally not what they're called, Dad. I'm like, it really is. And they're like, nah, I think you're full of it.
Well, that's good though. That's good because someday they will learn what a phloem bundle is, and they'll be like, "Damn it!"
I think we may have Googled it. I don't know, or I think maybe I just said, okay,
"Our dad was a scientist."
Oh, they.
No, he was a back alley astronaut.
Back alley astronaut.
Why do I? I should buy that domain for myself for Christmas.
Back alley for Christmas. Backalleyastronaut.com. You tend to go the .com route, or do you go for...
Oh, yeah. No, this one might be .space. .space is pretty pricey, but it's worth it. I'm worth it. Myself. Oh, apparently we're under attack now. Rod and the kids are getting home.
It's better safe than sorry, though, with your protection.
Especially
so,
given the...
So, Possil Q, Gary, go.
Cryptozoology characters parading past my house. Possil Q. You like that poll? Cryptozoology. Yeah.
I remembered. That was one that I was convinced everybody knew about, and then everybody was like, Allison, nobody's into what you're into. No one knows what duology is.
Well, I think we firmly established that Chris and I are not everybody. In a lot of ways.
Is... when you realize that you're... I don't know, because like then the exact opposite happens to me where I think nobody listens to this band and then I try to buy tickets for it and then I'm like, oh, I live in a huge city and like tons of people listen to this band. What am I thinking about?
So when that happens, to avoid answering the question that Chris asked, when that happens, do you ever think to yourself like, gee, there are a lot more cool people in this city than I thought there were?
I do, but I don't like where do you find people? Like, I don't leave the house.
Yeah, they're not in my house either. I agree.
So like, I've got my like nice little bubble, and like some people there's overlap that I can drag them to certain shows.
I don't know that I was suggesting like you need to meet those people. I think I was just observing that. Like, do you ever like just think like, wow, that's not a lot of neat people around here that I don't know. I mean.
I think I feel like that in general, though, about Toronto, where I'm like, oh, there's a lot of cool people here. But I think that's the thing, is that I'm like, oh, but I'm not cool. Like,
yeah.
Like, I see cool people all the time walking around, and I'm like, that's not me.
I both have and don't have that experience in Salt Lake City.
Really?
Yes. Because so in Salt Lake City specifically, there's like a very strong like counterculture. Because it's the most, you know, it's the most populous and most metropolitan city in Utah, which then also makes it more diverse and more liberal. But you still have the undercurrent of like the Mormon history in the state. So a lot of those people,
shady undercurrent, would have been fine in that sentence.
A lot of people, even
don't censor yourself on our behalf.
Even the cool people come from like Mormon backgrounds, and they're not Mormon. And so like, there's a lot of people who are legitimately cool. There's some people who are now cool, and then there's some people that seem cool but are really still not.
I feel seen.
You're legitimately the level that you have to be concerned with, but
yeah. I mean, it's like they seem cool, but really they're an asshole. Like, yeah, they're going to a cool, like they're going to the Red Elvis's concert, but they're still like some dude bro that you know, married his current wife when he was when he got back from his mission in 18 and ignores her and their kids.
Yeah, that's still good. Hard pass on being friends with those people.
Yeah. Or like, you know, you seem really cool, but actually you're a gun-toting libertarian that I didn't even know that, and was totally into like, you know, gun rights and shooting on the range and trying to invite me to go places like that. Not that I'm calling out any individual.
When I was little, my parents, it was mortifying to me as a kid. My parents would ask people's parents, before I went over to their house, they would ask them if they had any guns in the house. And if they did, they wouldn't let me go, which was mortifying as a kid. And like, yeah. I understand more about the background story about why that was the case later on. But like, as a kid, I was like, this is bullshit. Like... And it's super embarrassing to be like, I thought I could come to your house, but now I can't because of this thing.
When Gavin was still in school, he had a friend who really, really liked him, and he was kind of lukewarm. And he went over to kid's house. Kid had a really rough like home life. And which I think was part of the reason why he like was super latched on to Gavin. Mm-hmm. And it turned out that we found out later that their dad had guns, plural, I believe. And after that point, it was like, we should make a rule. Like, we should find out. That's a thing that we should know about. Like, we were kind of pissed off that we didn't know about that to begin with. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he didn't go over. We didn't ever say explicitly, this is why, I don't think at the time. We might have said it later. And then I think we did. I don't think it came up later. But then I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of people who have a license to concealed carry, and you know, like, I don't know everybody who's like, I used to think I could tell a gun owner by looking at them, and I have learned since that is absolutely not true.
Yeah.
Such a weird thing about the fabric of the U.S. I don't care for it.
No, it's a bizarre.
Yeah, like we had a, I may have told you guys about this. We had a sensitivity training, but some sort of like, a bias awareness sort of workshop thing at our last retreat. And I realized and vocalized that I have a bias against gun owners, and one of my friends and coworkers says, I own a gun. Like, do you think those things about me? Like, I like, well, like, now that you said it, I kind of do, but like, I didn't before you said it. Like,
damn it, that's the bias.
Exactly. But I learned through that interaction that I have no idea what a gun owner looks like.
Yeah. Well, no, that's what's so fascinating. And I remember feeling as a child that it felt so arbitrary, and like, I just didn't understand my parents' full reasoning, even though, like, I guess I wasn't very bright. I was just concerned about my social situation.
Totally.
More so than like my safety. But also, like, because like, my parents are basically just like, we don't know, like, they could have a gun safe. They could be like the most responsible people in the world. But the problem is like, we don't know that. Yeah. And like, and also shit happens, and like, stuff happened with like a friend of my dad's when he was younger, and he never forgot it. And so like, that was that. Like, he was just like, nope, like, hard pass. Like, you'll find other friends. Oh. And he was also just like, or they can come over here. Like, he's like, that's a thing. It's so bizarre that it's like one of those, I don't know, like, I'm a non-parent. So like, but I'm just like, you don't have enough to worry about on your plate already.
Yeah.
This conversation is making me like, I can like tell my,
I know, mind. I'm bringing anxiety to Gary's world, and I'm not intending to. Possible cue.
Yeah.
Potential offset of social situations, laying quietly.
Isn't Q like someone's, that's a thing, right? Q is someone's like something quotient, right? Q? No? Some
bullshit measurement? I mean, Q, like IQ? Sure.
Oh. Well, I failed that test, didn't I? The letters,
right? Q is a character on James Bond.
Yeah. Q is what they do in the UK. Very well. Learned at a young age.
Yes, but not with the not as the letter, as represented by the letter Q.
So one of my problems, of course, it's all coming back to code and me. The word Q, I type, and I'm not sure. It's like, it's hard to stop the U E U E U E alternation. So I tend to abbreviate in Q with EQ. And for the longest time, someone was like, I work with, was like, what does this stand for? Like, what? Why do you call this EQ? And to me, it was very obvious because the word is NQ. Function name was EQ. I could type EQ with two letters. It didn't seem like an unreadable abbreviation. But interestingly enough, like, you know, you think about, we use verbose variable names, and this was a situation where I did not use a verbose function name, and it was not discoverable, even though in my head, like, it seemed to make perfect sense.
See, I would read EQ and think equalizer.
I would think emotional quotient. And that's binary jazz, everyone. I'd be like, wow, this is like a really deep algorithm if we're getting into the emotion.
Well, I think the lesson learned is the friends we made along the way or something.
Lesson learned is that Gary is wrong.
Just one of those years. What is it? It was Douglas Adams in I think Hitchhiker's Guide. I think the first in the, it's a trilogy of four books, five books. What does he call it? A trilogy of five books. Yeah. Anyway, somebody says I never got the hang. I think Arthur says something about never getting the hang of Tuesdays, Thursdays.
I like that.
Yeah, that sounds accurate.
I never got the hang of Tuesdays. I like that idea in general. Yeah. I think that reading that colored me for a while, thinking like, oh, I must have a bad day of the week. What day would it be for me? What day did I never get the hang of? Which is absolutely ridiculous because it's just seven arbitrary words we assign to things to keep a semblance of progression. Oh my God, time is so crushing. Oh.
We know we're absolutely shite at all the days, so why?
Well, what I find interesting about those seven arbitrary words is that the current calendar system, in the current calendar system, they're wrong.
Oh, yes. They are all wrong. Especially Monday.
Monday should be day one, and Tuesday should be day two.
Yeah, so do you not have that set on your calendar? Like, I think most calendars have the option set either Sunday or Monday as your default.
I have the calendar I have on the wall starts with Sunday.
Yeah, but I mean, the calendar that I have in my computer lets me start on Monday because
sure,
computers. Why would I have a calendar on the wall when I have
do anything you tell them to do? That's great, but the calendar right there says that the week starts on Sunday, and so therefore the week starts on Sunday.
Ye old analog. You don't participate
in a printed calendar? No. I'm not even sure. I mean, like, what?
You could get so many space-themed ones.
I totally could. You're absolutely right. But then what the heck would I do with it? I'd look at January until sometime in July and be like, oh, maybe I should flip the month.
You'd know what date it was.
Well, that's why it says it's Thursday the 12th.
Yeah. But what?
Presumably, I know what month it is, although I didn't on Sunday. I thought it was still November Sunday.
Only a week or so into the month.
Yeah. It was only a week in. It was like 8 days in, I think. So
I mean, I'm not saying that I'm the best at changing the calendar on the wall. I've gone like entire months like forgetting that I like needed to do that. But
we should go back visually through the episodes and see
what month it is.
If the calendar
picture on the wall has changed. Yeah.
There'll be like a long block where Gary's wearing a purple shirt and Chris has the same calendar up.
Yeah.
People will be like, did you just shoot all these episodes in one day?
I'll be like, Binary Jazz is more of a time machine experience because.
The best part will be like, if you look, you'll see like my beard like come and go during the episodes.
So what we're saying is that if you're only listening to the audio of this podcast, you should check out and subscribe, like and subscribe our YouTube channel so we can finally get a YouTube username that is Binary Jazz and not some long string of numbers and letters.
How does that work? So like when there's a certain number of followers, we can have a real name. Otherwise, we're just like,
yes,
really?
Yes. Otherwise, we're not legit.
That's crazy.
We need 10 subscribers. And sadly, we're lacking those 10 still.
I subscribed, I think.
No. I'm pretty sure I did too.
I think I did too, and that would be like three.
Okay. All right,
seven more people. We can do this. Get that URL.
I
have no shame.
Okay.
Fossil Q.
Having no shame in the search for a URL.
Having no shame in dragging people to our YouTube channel and forcing them to subscribe at finger point.
Why wouldn't people want to see all of this?
I know, right?
Finger
point. You should do it. Angry face.
I have a lot of feelings today. Apostle Q is... now I mentally associate it with something that has to do with college, but it probably doesn't.
No, you can have Apostle Q at any age. Now it's like a trivia.
I don't know.
Now I just have Bjork in my head, like possibly lesbian and queer. Probably not.
I wish it was something a bit more like, yeah, now I'm like, oh, maybe it's not as exciting as I thought it was. I don't know.
Oh, no, I'm pretty excited to find out what it is.
You'll hear the answer and you'll be like, that's what you find exciting? That's really bizarre. That's more likely.
presentation.
Allison says to the guy that, like, was watching a rocket launch that barely made it across the Kármán line yesterday.
Oh, yeah, happy full moon, everybody. We're here.
Oh, is that today? Or tonight? Or was it last night?
It was last night, 12/12 on the 12th of December.
Oh, word. I thought last night it was kind of hazy when I walked outside, which meant, like, the glow was just encompassing. And I thought, how beautiful. And chilly.
We have a skylight. We have a skylight that's just above the stairway up the stairs that go upstairs. And when the moon is when the moon is at a certain position, you can see it directly, like it positions itself right above the skylight. So we call it our moonlight because we can.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it is pretty awesome.
I love that.
Oh, and then you don't have to go outside and do that weird thing where you're like
exactly
trying to yourself.
Yeah, we just look up and see if it's in the right place. And that,
don't
what's
lean
cool
too far
that
over
too,
the banister.
What's cool about that too is you can see like, you know, like you go, it's in the right place, you know, at one time and you come back later and it's moved and the angle is different. You have to be in a different part of the, different part of the hallway to see it. Hallway/stairs.
I like that though, the moon arc.
Yeah. Presentation of secretly solicited liquor. Just liquor.
Quotes.
LQ could be liquor. So presentation of secretly solicited liquor, which you can have as a kid.
The term, a term from the Prohibition.
Yeah.
You must think I was up to no good in university.
Well, I might have been.
Zima.
I might have been guilty of presenting secretly solicited liquor.
Okay, should we get down to business? Do you want to know what it is?
Sure, yeah, let's find out.
Let's get down to brass tacks.
We've got some questions we could go through. So,
yeah. That's a very Joe Biden thing to say.
So, brass tacks.
Let's get down to brass, and you have to point when you do it.
Don't.
Down to brass tacks.
Don't. Yeah, we don't need any of that malarkey.
Malarkey.
There was the head coach in Jacksonville was Mike Malarkey several years ago, which, come on. This team sucked when he was the coach. Was there anybody shocked to find this out?
Exactly.
No. I mean, one winning season in 12 years. Anyway, POSLQ.
POSLQ. It's an abbreviation or acronym for person of opposite sex sharing living quarters.
Oh.
I love that. So it was coined in the late 1970s by the census because they were trying to figure out how, like, the prevalence of cohabitation because more and more people were, like, living out of wedlock.
But they scandal.
They basically, like, they used it as a term, but, I mean, they're making a lot of assumptions, right? Because they're assuming that you're in some sort of maybe romantic relationship, maybe not. Like, who knows? Like, and so then it gained a bit of momentum in the 80s, but then they actually started using the term unmarried partner in the 1990 census. And so then that kind of, like, pushed POSLQ completely out of the running because they had something a lot more specific. Kind of made it up a bit obsolete, but yeah.
So, say it again.
Of opposite sex sharing living quarters.
Yeah. Huh. And it was in an episode
what?
Frasier and Lilith described themselves as apostle cues.
So it does not specifically, so it doesn't specify whether the person of the opposite sex that is sharing living quarters is a partner or not. They could be either.
Either, yeah. So, I mean, technically,
yeah, I feel like we could just
have a possible cue right now. I mean, like, if we're being vague.
Yeah. I feel like the census is really trying to shoehorn something there. It just seems like it would be effective to say, There are two adults living in this building.
I mean, yeah.
I'm good with that number. I can live with that. Sufficient for me.
Without the assumptions for people, census takers.
What's your relationship? None of your damn business.
There's an interesting bit. There's a video that was recently on John Oliver where he was talking about the census, and he showed this video that's on probably YouTube or something where it's some dude, some libertarian dude, who is refusing to cooperate with the census taker, and so he's just basically trolling her every time she asks a question. He's like, well, I don't think you have the right to ask that question. Like, I don't have to answer that.
Yeah.
And she just gets kind of sassy with him. And it's fascinating that she doesn't just pull a gun and shoot him in the face because he's being a dick. But it's amusing, although more at his expense than hers, I suppose, because he's being such an ass. I don't even understand, like, why you would be, like, harass the census taker.
Is it a volunteer position or paid position?
I don't know.
I don't, that has nothing to do with her, whether they're harassed or not. I'm just curious.
I want to say they're paid because I want to say that the census is, like, a federal, a budgetary thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have some questions. Most of them are from Allison, but there's a couple that aren't. One of them says John Renator Slack app support with no content. So that's a thing.
Did you provide support?
No.
Okay. I guess.
It's somebody with a Shopify.com email address, so I wonder if Shopify is using Genrenator. That'd be kind of awesome, actually. Okay, so the next one is, hello, I am contacting you because I'm doing a bit of research for a general health and mental health project I'm working on. I stumbled upon a page of your site, binaryjazz.com/blah blah blah blah/ASMR. I figured I would reach out. I've been featured in Yahoo, ADAA, The Mighty, AMHCA, Good Men Project, Thrive Global, HealthCom U, etc. And as a result, the mental health and overall wellness of individuals and families has become something I'm increasingly passionate about. In short, I'm involved with a project that is looking to educate more individuals about mental health topics by possibly working with platforms like yours. I decided to contact you because I noticed you're linking to one of the leaders as it relates to health-related topics. CDC.gov.
Hold up. Are we saying CDC is an expert in health related things?
Some long address to something that I don't know what it is off the top because it's not.
Are we sure about that?
URL.
Do we validate?
No, absolutely not. So you might be open to what I have in mind. If you'd be interested in hearing more, please let me know. If not, I understand and would understand if you don't respond. Thank you for your time, consideration, and time, Marie. Sorry, Marie, for not responding to you for a month.
That seems reasonable for a request of this nature.
I'm responding to you via YouTube. Probably we're not what you're looking for.
Sorry you're taking out Lost in our Help Scout. But no. Yeah, tell them.
Our platform politely declines.
Yeah.
Okay. I do feel good about being called a platform, though.
Between that and a content creator, you're on a roll.
2019 is coming up, Gary.
Okay. Now, with that out of the way, what subject would our next bot tackle? Allison asks on October 24th.
Oh, it's such a good question. I have thought a lot about bots recently. For a lot of reasons. I still feel like there is an opportunity to build a, what was that bot we had installed for a while? Bias bot.
Yeah.
Yes. I feel like there's a great opportunity for a better version of that, that would actually be like a valuable thing for, a lot of humans. I also feel like there's opportunities for bots to be more helpful, and maybe not necessarily like the Slack bot style, and maybe not like the Twitter bot style, but like I think about how I use my phone, and if there was a bot that could help me be like have these like this concept of like deep profile stuff. Like my phone is great when I'm at work because I use it for notifications. Like it's another screen that I can look at like a preview of email without being interrupted and decide, do I need to deal with that now? And the same thing with Slack messages. And I could turn off messages, notifications on my computer entirely, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't want any of that when I walk away for the day. And I need a bot that can be like, okay, great. We are no longer in work profile. We are now in home profile, which means things like, you know, people in my favorites when they text or call, like, you're darn right, I want to hear from them. So it's really weird to me that that's not like a use case that really seems solved. And I feel like the solution is a bot that can go in and be like, oh, I'll just change all these settings. I mean, because it's probably a dozen settings that I would change if I was doing it on a regular basis.
There is.
Well, I just leave it on mute all the time.
There is a Slack app that I've started using at work called Clockwise, which takes your calendar. It can take multiple calendars. You can add your work calendar and your personal calendar, and it changes your Slack status based on whether or not you have things going on in your day. And it also automatically sets your do not disturb status while you're on a call or have a meeting. And then if other people are using it, then it tries to find gaps where your two schedules can align with each other to schedule new events between people, which is kind of cool. But it kind of is an all or nothing thing, because if everybody isn't using it, then the people who aren't are the problem, because they can't align their schedules with your schedules in the way that it's meant to do.
So I've used it, and it even has the thing where you can say like schedule a meeting against my adjacent meeting so I don't lose time between meetings, right, which is cool. But the problem is that it's limited to Slack. Like I need like a whole life bot, you know?
I think they call those personal assistants.
But
I'm sure you can find one on Fiverr.
What's that? Yeah, I probably could. But who? I mean, they're going to walk over to my house and turn my phone settings over for me? Seems like...
No, they're going to field all your calls. You just say, my phone number is this number, and then they will forward all your calls to you. And notifications.
That'll dream big.
Yeah.
That's gig economy. Is that good or bad?
Yes. The answer to your question
in The Good Place, they had that episode where they talked about like all the decisions that people have to make. Like it's impossible to be good, right? And I think about that a lot, and it is destroying me. So, like Amazon. Oh God, we're almost out of time.
Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at @binaryjazz. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the form on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.